Inside the Disney Vault. This is the podcast where we're going through every single Disney Channel original movie in chronological order.
Keep it.
Chronological. It's hard. And before that, we did animated movies, Disney animated movies. And then before that, we did Pixar movies. So we're just going through a lot. Anyway, I'm Rachel.
I'm Claire.
And I'm Oscar.
Wow. Oh my gosh. And look over there. It's our friend. It's our friend and the co-host of the Baywatch Watch podcast. It's Charlie Mihalik. Hey
guys. Fancy
Charlie,
seeing you.
Wow. I'm so excited to see you in the vault. Also, I'm so excited
for... absolutely tongue-tied the fact that we saw you. Oh my gosh, what a treat.
I was just going to take in a quiet day in the vault and fancy running into you guys here.
I love it. You know, we've been touring around this vault for a while, and I love that every time any of us intro it, it's a new adventure. Yeah. Just like every movie and everyone we find.
Yeah.
Also, interestingly enough, that Rachel flubbed chronologically because this is a cool section of the vault. What are we seeing in the vault? I, for one, am seeing a stopwatch that's a minute behind.
Oh. I'm seeing a frozen cat.
I see a towel wrapped around a person.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Charlie, what do you see?
I see a cheerleader who I could have sworn broke her leg. And now she's fine.
Whoa. Oh, wow. Like magic.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we are talking about
Minutemen.
Perfection.
Cow, we've arrived.
We have. Have you seen Minutemen before?
Yes.
No.
Yes. No.
Yeah, I had not seen it either. So... almost all fresh eyes.
Yeah, we're getting to the point where I should have stopped watching Disney Channel.
No.
Wait,
for
Rachel,
everybody.
Paint us a picture. Where were you in 2008?
Well, I was a senior in high school and preparing to get out of this town. But I was also in love with the Disney Channel, and I was obsessed with Hannah Montana and the Jonas Brothers and all the drama of all the Disney Channel stars. So that's where I am.
A lot going on with the drama-wise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't think senior year of high school is, like, too old to be watching DCOMs. I mean, the characters in this movie, they're all seniors in high school, so I think it's the appropriate age.
Yeah, I know, but it's that thing where... You look back and you're like, yeah, you were the appropriate. But when you're in it, you're like, this is not cool.
I remember that too. I remember still watching and being like, I think I'm too old for this. But
people
now
played
when
it a little close to the vest when they would still go home and watch a lot of. They didn't talk about it as much.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. But now we are talking about it.
Yeah.
We're all watching it. We're all much older than the target
adults.
Demographic.
Now I forced my friends to watch all the things I love.
I definitely had a thought while watching. I was like, I'm a man. In his
30s,
watching a movie for children.
It is funny when I describe people what we are watching, and a lot of them are like, what is a DCOM? And I'm like, well, it's a made-for-television Disney Channel original movie. And anyway.
They stopped listening at made-for-television
movie. I think I honestly feel like with like a couple $100,000 more dollars, this could have been theatrical.
Speaking of the fun facts and the money of the movie, let's get into some smart housekeeping. Because actually, this would be a very fun theatrical movie. So, Minutemen from the year 2008 premiered on January 25th, 2008. Does anyone have a guess of the budget for this film?
$4.
A lot of... There was some CG stuff with the little wavy... black hole looking.
Whoa!
Things, right?
There was some CG. Yes. The cat,
right.
Like cat.
So I'm going to say $7 million.
Not a bad
guess.
I
thought you were going to say $7.
$7. Much more generous than Oscar's $4 guess.
My uncle do the graphics for $7.
Wow. Okay. Well, the budget was $5 million.
Wow.
Wow.
But you know, like, there were a lot of graphics. I just don't understand how that's priced out as a put, like, because some of the other Disney Channel original movies we've seen have had like a $15 million budget.
Well, they had more star power. These are like Disney Channel kids.
This is your beta team. This is your beta team kicking in.
Speaking of which, the cast is Jason Dolley as Virgil Fox, Luke Benward as Charlie Tuttle, Nicholas Braun, a.k.a. Cousin Greg, as Zeke Thompson, who that's probably what he'll be known as from now on, Chelsea Staub as Stephanie Jameson, J.P. Manu as Vice Principal Tolkien, Stephen R. McQueen as Derek Bogard, and, Kara Crane as Jeanette Pachalewski.
Yeah.
And that's kind of...
This is a big Disney cast because...
Yeah,
because
we've seen some repeat... There's some people... We talked about this before we recorded, but Rachel knows a couple of people that have been in other DCOM stuff.
Yeah, Jason Dolley was in Cory in the House and then later Good Luck Charlie. And then he's also in another Disney Channel original movie that we will see.
Oh!
Yeah, and then...
That's exciting.
Luke Benward is coming up in like... 3 or 2 more Disney Channel original movies, but he now is the most recent thing I know about him is he's dating Ariel Winter, I think that's her name, from Modern Family.
Oh.
And before that, though, he was dating his co-star from another Disney Channel original movie, Olivia Holt, who was also a Disney
this
person.
This is why it was easy to get wrapped up in all the Disney drama. Yeah. It was just as vibrant as any of Hollywood.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have Nicholas Braun, who is now in Succession. But also, he was also in the ABC Family TV show of 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh.
What?
Yeah. And we talked about Andrew Keegan before this.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew Keegan.
Wow.
What a time
to
be alive.
Wait, oh, so and then Chelsea was in the Jonas Brothers TV show, and then also later in ABC Family TV show.
Okay. And also, what's the girl that the boy
Jeanette.
Made out with?
Yeah.
Jeanette Lee. She was in Halloween, Return to Halloween Town.
Yeah. Oh, wait. No,
she
wait.
Played one of the other twins.
Were you talking about the girl, the
one that has a crush on Charlie?
Girlfriend.
Yeah.
No, not that one. The other, the mean girl.
The mean girl.
Oh,
yes.
The mean girl.
Oscar. Okay. The girl that he, spoiler, cheats with. That girl?
Yes, that girl.
Okay, yes. I think you're right. She was one of the triplets girls.
She plays the mean girl that she's been typecast.
She's got a type.
She's been typecast.
Got a type.
That's what happens when you're pretty, is that they cast her as a mean girl.
Wait, so Charlie, let's talk about your connection with Disney. Are you a Disney freak like we are? Is there a connection with DCOMs to you? Is this your first ever Disney Channel original movie? Let's talk.
This isn't my first Disney Channel original movie, but it's the first one that I like sat down and watched like by myself. I think like because
normally you have a viewing group.
Well,
Disney Channel original
when I was growing up, I was like a little older, so I'm 35, and my sisters are 25 and 28. So they were like prime Disney Channel, DCOM, like Cadet Kelly, and like those types of High School Musical 2, which I believe are both DCOMs.
Yes.
And so those I'd seen because they had watched them when they were younger. And then they were really into all of the shows that were on. But I grew up, for the most part, before I was a teenager, my family didn't have cable at all. So anything that I saw that was Disney Channel related was only on ABC on Saturday mornings. So they would show like syndicated episodes of like Lizzie McGuire, Even Stevens, Recess, like a couple other, you know,
Recess.
They would show a few different things, but we certainly didn't get, and Hannah Montana, those types. But as far as my relationship with Disney, though, I like Disney a lot and grew up watching all the, you know, Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, Mulan, etc. My favorite was Mulan, though.
Good one.
But yeah.
Great soundtrack.
But yeah, this was the first one that I actually set, and I was like, "That's not bad."
Yeah, this one. I haven't seen this one before, and I was. It's not a bad one to, to make a
also,
non-decom
was it weird?
Person watch.
Because this is. I was thinking this when I was watching it. And I was like, oh my god, they say the word Charlie so many times.
I know. So many times. Right.
Was is that a weird thing hearing your name in a movie?
Not really, because it's really common. And the one thing I noticed is that a lot of movies will name. Women Charlie, because there are women out there, but movies love to do it a lot more. Right. Women named Charlie in movies than I've met
that's
real life.
Interesting.
Yeah,
it
but
makes
this
her
one was
cool.
Yeah, it makes her cool, and it's something else. But I did notice that this is the same high school from High School Musical.
Yeah.
Oh, Charlie! What an eye!
Yeah.
This is Murray High School in Utah, which was where they filmed High School Musical.
Okay, wait, what the hell? Oh, so you're our research department. That's who, okay, no wonder you look familiar, Charlie.
Yeah, I looked it up. I looked it up after because I was like, I think that's the High School Musical one. And that's where they're also filming High School Musical, the musical, the series.
And it recently flooded. Because what of something happened.
Climate change.
COVID?
Yeah, climate change.
Because of COVID.
Both. Honestly, wouldn't be surprised if it was because of a mixture of COVID and climate change.
Yeah.
It was flooded with COVID.
You know what? There probably weren't people around to protect it because of COVID.
That's right. Yeah.
So, in a way.
Yeah. Flood defense.
Yeah.
Wow.
But... yeah, I was while watching. So, I didn't check it, but I was like, "This looks like East High," but I didn't check. But you checked. Okay.
They love filming in Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is the ramp part of the school?
I don't know.
Research department.
Like, yeah, that I don't. I don't know if they made up the mascot.
Jury's still out.
Check that out for us.
It's probably added on because I think when we looked it up, the high school in real life has like a cat. Not it's not like a wildcat, like cat. But it's some
like
other
a house
cat.
House cat.
No, it's some other
home
wild
of the house cats.
Cat, but it's not the wildcat.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Oh, not wildcats like the
well,
High School Musical
we'll
team.
Get the research department to do a little. Mm-hmm.
Charlie, get to.
I have a couple more facts that I could share.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Please, Charlie,
the
please.
Fun facts. Love
so
the
this,
fun facts.
This movie is apparently, even though it didn't really. It wasn't really Back to the Future, but they do a lot of Back to the Future stuff in this, including naming the cat Einstein. Mm-hmm. The dog's name is Einstein in Back to the Future.
Yeah.
The vice principal, Tolkien, the actor, the bald actor who played the principal in Back to the Future was named James Tolkien.
Mm-hmm.
And then
they have a dance that has a 50s
theme.
Yeah, the 50s theme dance. Yeah.
And I feel like one of the kids was supposed to dress up like, well, didn't, I don't know.
Like Marty McFly?
Yeah, yeah.
I did notice the parallels, and I thought it was kind of a clever way for them to be like, yeah, we're doing time travel, and we are going to use some of the same elements, so we're going to make it an homage rather than just like a
rip it
copy.
Off, yeah.
The
yeah.
kids in the playground were like, you're an alien.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Oh,
like
yes.
Darth
right.
Vader.
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
I also... did notice, this has nothing to do with facts, but when they're at the 50s sock hop, and they have the guy in the band. It is the worst lip syncing I've ever seen. In my it is off by like a full second and a half.
Oh no!
Him mouthing the words, so they barely
drag him. Charlie,
another homage.
I think this is something that we talked about before, where like, of course, they don't have the music playing while they're filming, right?
Right.
So they can get the dialogue.
Line it up.
And
it's not his fault. It's the sound's fault.
Yeah, it's the editor's fault who purposely make everyone look offbeat.
Yeah.
Those editors.
So I guess me saying it's the worst lip syncing I've ever seen, it's actually not his fault.
Right, he's actually really amazing.
It's the editor.
Yeah.
It's the editors.
Yeah.
It's the editors.
But speaking of the principal, he was also in Phil of the Future, I think, or some.
Yes,
some of the,
yes, I think you're right.
And then
is
also
like a carbon copy character of Jim Rash from Community.
He's in Community.
Like, uncomfortably
there's the,
so.
It's the is it the documentary episode or just like one episode where they use him as like a double?
Oh, really?
He's the actor?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I mean, it is a carbon copy.
The one thing I will say for Minutemen, this came out first.
Yeah.
This premiered before Community.
So they got him.
This is the source. Okay. This is the source. So I'm looking up some photos of Murray High School, and it looks like they don't have any statues at all outside. So I guess they're a blank canvas for whoever wants to come.
My high school had a statue of our mascot either.
No. Yeah, I don't think mine did either. So it's just a fun little detail for the movies. The big
so they can hang two kids on it.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what they spent the $7 million on.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, should we talk about Minutemen?
Let's jump in. Yeah.
Jump into the vortex.
Yeah.
So we start off. It's the first day of high school. We got three friends. One wants to play football. The gal wants to be a cheerleader. And the third guy just is a guy. There's just like a whole scene, and there's a football tryouts, and simultaneously, I guess there's like a cheerleading tryout happening. But during this, a kid with a rocket car goes by and crashes, and there's a whole kerfuffle. And one of the I guess I should say their names. This is
Virgil steps in to defend.
Virgil Fox. Yes. Which is
this is the point in my notes where I didn't know their names yet, so I'm like, one kid. So yes, Virgil steps in and helps defend Charlie from the jocks.
Wait, Virgil Fox, Marty McFly.
Michael J. Fox?
Oh.
Wait a second. Wow. Wait a second.
Wow.
There are going to be so many parallels. cut to them.
They're like,
suspended in cheerleading outfits. Yeah, from the giant statue.
Yeah, they look pretty good in drag, I got to say.
Yeah.
I did. One of them had that like weird, fish scale headband thing that I thought was a little corny, but I thought they looked
details. They really went for it with the details.
They all had the same Justin Bieber hair.
Oh, yeah.
So much swoopage.
Hair. Oh,
so
that the hair sweet. That went forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just was everyone rocking that hair at that time?
Yeah.
Charlie,
did
you have that kind of
hair? I did not have
that
hair. I would have been. Okay. 22, so I was a little past that, I think.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I've seen some 22-year-olds with that haircut.
The swoop, the beep, that's true. The beep swoop. Mm-hmm. So we cut to 3 years later, which I was very surprised.
Nobody grew up.
Nobody aged
at all.
Yes. Character Charlie was very young looking in the first scene and remained so.
I believe that they left something out because that he like skipped ahead in school or something, because when they're talking about it later, somebody says something, they're like, leave him alone, he's only 14.
Yeah.
Even though he's supposed to be a senior.
Oh, also maybe he's like the Doc Brown who doesn't seem to age, even though he goes throughout time.
Yeah.
So he's the one who comes up with the machine.
That's their homage to solve for time inconsistency.
Exactly. He remains looking 11 the entire time. Mm-hmm. So it is 3 years later, and now Virgil is friends with Charlie, and they all look the same age.
He's a nerd. But then his two best friends from freshman year are now cool and dating.
Yes. So Chelsea and Derek, Chelsea is her real name, Stephanie and Derek are an item.
Chelsea doesn't have one positive moment with Derek, by the way, in this entire movie.
No.
She spends all of her time with Virgil, and Derek is bad from start to finish.
And she's unbelievably kind to him when he's being unkind to her.
Yes.
So it's quite a sight. So clearly Virgil likes Stephanie. And what's his face? Charlie starts talking about time travel and that he has a device he's thinking of, but they need help. They need help from the bad boy of the bunch, who is Cousin Greg, aka what's his name?
Nicholas Braun. Greg.
He's gonna be Cousin Greg.
Zeke.
Zeke. Thank you. Cousin Greg makes so much more sense. My notes weren't very good at the very beginning, so I apologize. They're going to get better, I swear. So they need some help. They're interested in doing an experiment, though, with this. But they need him on board, and so they ask the teacher if they can have some space. But he's like, no, we don't have any more room in this school. There are all kinds of clubs. But apparently there's an extra room called Room 77, which is mysterious and abandoned. And so they use this as the room that they're going to build this time machine in. Because Charlie's real smart. He's got all kinds of plans and all kinds of ways that they're going to make this happen. And it's apparently not going to be that big of a deal. They just need a few montages. So they, okay, so they want to travel to an important moment in time. And they say, okay, how about the lottery? That's a big, important thing we can do for our first venture into
robot
time travel.
Robot Man spoils the plan.
Okay, so
well, they can't buy a lottery ticket because they're not old enough. So then they try to get the Robot Man, who's outside of like a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Yes, this whole scenario is strange. So this is right after they do have a little like a cleaning montage, stealing computers, gathering parts, building this time machine in the room, and so they build something really big, and it's windy and it glows and everyone's nervous to try it. And what they do is they throw the cat in without letting Charlie know, even though it's his cat, and that's Albert Feline-Stein. And they send the cat in, and the cat comes back a minute in the past to the cat. So the cat traveled a minute, just like in Back to the Future.
Yeah, they put a stopwatch on it, and it was a minute behind.
Yeah.
So it worked. It was pretty simple.
I don't get it either.
Because the cat is back where they are, so it should be the same time.
I don't get that it seems like they're not really controlling how far they're going. They just kind of jump into a vortex and wish for the best.
Also,
whereas in Back to the Future, they dial where they're going and when they're coming out.
And conveniently, like, every time they do it, they're like, oh, this is exactly where we needed to go.
Exactly. Yes. Space and time.
Yeah. It's like, oh, here we are.
Also, there's
time travel movies are tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then also, have you noticed that all time travel movies now reference Back to the Future as like a, 100%. This is like Back to the Future, I guess, is the staple. But it's not, but my confusion, it comes later when the girl is still there and she knows everything, but she wouldn't know everything because she stays there and things would change.
Yes.
Like when she
point.
Looks at the newspaper, it makes sense that they would have the newspaper as it changes.
Right.
But she wouldn't have, she wouldn't watch it change.
Maybe it's because she's enlightened and knows that time travel is possible. So
she's
able
watching
to think
for the disruptions. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. So she'll,
the snowsuit boys.
Okay. So that's another important point is every time they go through the time travel vortex, it's very, very cold. So they decide to
wear winter
gear.
That's why the cat comes back
winter
frozen.
Gear. Yes. Yeah.
But not,
that cat is going to have a hard time recovering.
I was like, that
poor
cat could have died.
The cat is a minute in the past, but lost years off of its life from all the trauma. Yeah.
Cats don't have that long of lives.
I know they don't.
So
when Robot Man wins the... Or have we...
We're almost there. It's basically just like they go back to the computer labs and we see that there are scientists in a different location monitoring something.
Yeah, you always need two wacky scientists to... Yeah. To be the bad guys, but not really bad guys.
Right. More concerned about eating snacks than anything else.
Of course.
And just looking at computer screens.
Honestly,
this
that's
felt like the other me.
Yeah, this was, or like E.T., the the FBI guys.
Yeah. And but also, like, we joke about people just eating at work, but that's like what I used to do in my office job is just like go get snacks and like.
It's the only way to get through the day.
Right?
Exactly.
That's
also,
true.
If there's free food, take advantage of that, babe.
Yeah.
Heck
it's not funny. It's realistic. So
it is. This is a documentary.
Yeah. It's always supposed to make them look eccentric, smart, but also obnoxiously smart.
Exactly.
That the button-down guys are like, just give me the information. I don't need all your science talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got, like, a cheeseburger in your hand while you're explaining the science, you're like, look, I don't even need to think about what we're dealing with here. I'm eating.
I'm so casual.
Yeah. I'm so casual. So you're in the library, and Derek and Stephanie, of course, are having a fight because he's having a different girl tutor him for French, even though it's made clear that Stephanie knows French. And she's very suspicious.
What did she call him? She was like, your brain is full of cheese or something?
Oh, in French, I don't know.
You're a cheese brain? It's like, nice diss!
Yeah, a good zinger. A good French zinger. And so clearly there's trouble going on here. But again, she's very weirdly forgiving of this situation, even
she's
though...
She's nice.
She's just perfect. She's just like a dream girl, you know?
Just written like by a man.
Yeah, this is your classic Rachel McAdams in Wedding Crashers. Yeah. Like, it's that where she's dating a guy who is an absolute monster and meets the nice guy.
Sort of like, oh,
yeah, she's just like, whatever, yeah.
She's like, wow, there are nice guys all around me, but for some reason, yeah. I love trash.
And Derek, and sorry, Virgil is like, we'll get to this, but he's not like the best guy either.
No.
He like barely comes through for his friends.
It's true. And, well, and also like it seems what he has going, especially with Stephanie, is that they have been friends forever. So in the library, they reminisce about when they were little and when they would hang out before. So that's kind of like the biggest connection that they have.
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so back in room 77, they prepare for another time launch, and they have cold winter clothing on this time. And their launch works, and they go back, I think, a day. And this is where they go to buy the lottery ticket. But they're too young to buy a lottery ticket, so they try to bargain with a street performer to buy a lottery ticket for them. Although they don't actually talk to him because he's doing a routine.
Well, they basically are like, here, buy a ticket. Oh, no, we got to go, but we'll check back with you tomorrow. And it's like, he's just going to win.
It really bothered me that he was making robot noises because
even after he won.
I hated that.
Or is he a person? It was
like, and the news said, like, the winner is Robot Man. And
I hated that.
He's like, but is he actually a robot?
Well,
he's making noises like a robot.
If he's performing outside of a 7-Eleven, he's probably not in the right mindset.
I know. This is a small town street performer.
Yeah, you got to be in the tourist location.
Yeah.
He's not picking the right location. He's not okay.
And honestly, that goes to show that Robot Man did not need the money.
Yeah.
He did it for the love of the craft.
This is true. Yeah.
And I would also say that he came out ahead of every street performer that's ever lived by getting the lottery numbers. And
so maybe he was doing it right after all.
He was. Wow, Robot Man.
It was so crazy. So we go back to the scientists, and they notice a fluctuation of the magnitude in the exact location as before. So I guess they're seismologists and they're observing earthquakes. And that kind of behavior. So then outside of the convenience store, the Robot Man has won the lottery. It's a big scene, and the kids show up, but it's pretty clear that they're not going to get their money. So next we go to the locker room, and they discuss a new plan. And Virgil very clearly wants money and wants to use this time travel ability that they have for money. But Charlie doesn't want to do it anymore. He wants this to be the end of it because, you know, he's trying to be noble about his findings. And so we then cut to a vending machine and the kids lock. Oh, no, sorry. This is the kid. I think I skipped the part where kid got trapped inside of a vending machine. And the teacher was like, oh, I can't do anything because I'm not going to disrupt the social order of the school.
Yeah, listen, it's not just any kid, okay? This is Chester.
We're talking about.
And if there's one thing that I want to impart on the listeners of this podcast is that Chester is the star of Minutemen. In my eyes, the world revolves around Chester. We just living in Chester's world, baby, okay? Because the actor, the range.
Dexter Darden. I want to give him a shout out. That's Chester.
Him going from
his real name
Chester.
Is Dexter, yes. As in Dexter's Laboratory.
Wow.
As so, Chester. Listen,
you know,
the way he
listen.
Goes from nerd to coolest guy in school is...
He goes from a Chester to a Chet.
Yeah.
Exactly. Steve Urkel could never... Well, that's not true. Steve Urkel actually...
Yeah, Stefan.
But Chester is really... He's given... Oh, he's perfect.
But I will have to say that, again, that Chester becomes another pseudo-villain in this movie.
He becomes a monster.
He becomes a monster and a bully. Like, not only is he just, like, too cool, he is, like, actively bullying these guys now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of... Yeah, so this is going to lead to some interesting morals of the story here. So Chester comes back to his locker and finds it empty and that his clothing has been stolen, and the mean kids have stolen his clothes, and the teacher won't help. he seems very unconcerned with this, or just is like, oh, you know, this is how it works in a school. Mm-hmm. And if he's not there to fix this kind of thing,
he makes a comment about like, what a non-traditional outfit or something like that. Like he makes some comment about him being essentially naked in front of all of his classmates.
Yeah. As if this was a choice. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, so the, our time traveling crew decide that they can help people by traveling in time, and they dub themselves the Minutemen.
And snowsuit guys.
The snowsuit guys.
The rest of the school calls them the snowsuit guys.
Oh, I know. It's like no one even.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like if you call yourself the Avengers and everyone insists on being like random group of heroes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's very
well. It's like Minutemen wouldn't make sense to everyone else because they don't know they're time traveling.
Not at all.
So they're
not
like snowsuit guys.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. So they also now all of a sudden they need somebody to stay behind to work the controls or do something with the machine, and they're like, who are we gonna get to do this? However, there's been a girl the whole time who is very interested in Charlie and calls him different nicknames.
So
like,
horny for Charlie.
A different bird name every time, I think.
Yeah.
She's like, hey Chickadee, hey.
This girl has been throwing herself at him for multiple years.
Yeah. Also, this is a child that's a literal child, younger than anybody else.
He's
in
so
that
little.
School.
Yeah. He's so little. So she shows up.
She loves
and she
younger
wants,
men.
It's like Pen 15.
She wants.
Yeah. Very Pen 15 vibes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she wants to join what she calls the Back to the Future fan club. And, you know, they're very cautious of this, of course. But then they let her do it very easily. And she helps restyle them. So she is responsible for their look. And gets them all these all white snowsuit outfits because her dad has a sporting goods store. It was something thrown in there.
He used to own a shrimp grill, and now he owned a sporting goods store. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So they're just like little.
So pretty convenient, and I liked that very obvious writerly aside. That's like, thank God this worked plot-wise.
Like, well, like, heaven forbid we just got them these outfits and didn't talk about it.
And the fact that he, like, used to own a shrimp store. Like, it's like, he could have just been like, he owns a sporting goods store, but the fact that he used to own a shrimp grill, that's somehow important.
It's such a detail that it couldn't have been made up. It's so specific. Right.
You know what? The writer was like, my dad used to own a shrimp grill. I'm going to throw this in as to him.
Another homage.
And you know, in another timeline, if the dad still owned the shrimp grill, they wouldn't be called the Minutemen. They'd be called the Shrimp Man.
Yeah.
Mm. Or Shrimpy Boys.
Yeah. You know? The Shrimpy Boys.
What would they be wearing if it
the Bubba
were
Gumps.
Their outfits?
The Bubba Gumps.
Yeah. That shrimp costume that they have outside of Bubba Gumps.
Exactly. That. Three of those.
Three shrimp mascots.
And
it
honestly,
has a top hat.
I would have loved to seen it.
Yeah.
I would have loved to seen it.
That would have been fun. That would have been very fun. So they go back in time the minute that Chester sees that his clothes are missing, and they give him new clothing, which to me was interesting. That they
I thought they
to
would
this
just
minute.
Prevent or just like give him his regular clothes back and then just kind of restore things.
No,
but instead they glow up. Yeah.
Yes, they love a makeover. They're like, we love makeovers.
Right. It does beg the question, can they choose when they go back, or did they just like vaguely think they wanted to go back to the day before? You know, like,
you know what, that's nebulous, and honestly I don't know. That's why time travel movies are so sort of difficult.
So they took the opportunity.
You're not supposed
for the
to
glow
ask
up.
Too many questions. You're supposed to be
exactly.
like, okay, sure.
Yeah, right. It is fun.
It's
so
like, you know,
up.
It's like Cars, the Cars franchise.
Yeah.
I've said this before
we
on this
think
podcast.
Too much.
No, Cars makes total sense. I have no problems with Cars. The tongues
think
don't
too
bother
much,
me.
If you think too much about it, it gets hard and it hurts
it
your
does.
Brain.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
It's true. So this is the moment they go back to and they give him new clothing, and it is, he becomes confident and... The principal's after them for
the clothes make
diary.
The man, right?
Yeah, the clothes make the man to the point that when he walks out of the locker room and the bullies see him, they're like, "Oh shit!" Like, they're like,
"Yeah,
oh my god,
he looks
he looks so cool."
Whoa.
It's like the first upgrade. Day of school. Everyone's walking around like they're hot shit because they're wearing their new outfit.
Yeah.
Is he wearing a bucket hat?
No.
No, but it is like a. It is a. It's a. It's a cool hat. It's a styling hat.
Yeah. He's. Yeah. It's very cool. So the principal's after them for ruining his diorama. I don't remember.
Oh
what
yeah.
That
they like.
Oh,
they
that.
Like
that is why the principal hates the Minutemen is because. The principal was either going to get a golden watch or a diorama of the school for being at the school for 10 years. And so they gave him the diorama. And when the Minutemen are trying to get back to the time machine, they run around the corner and accidentally knock over and break the diorama. And then the principal's like, ah, and then that is what starts his vendetta. That is why he becomes ultimately the villain of this film.
Yeah.
So it's an origin story.
Yeah.
Completely justified.
Right.
Imagine working for 10 years to get that diorama, and in 2 seconds, someone ruins it.
Yeah, it's really
unjust.
Yeah.
He should have helped that kid with his clothes, and then he would have been a second later around the corner, you know?
Yeah, the principal really didn't do much principling. So.
Well, it's weird that he is the vice principal. We never
he's
meet
the, vice
the actual
principal.
Principal.
He's the vice,
oh. Yes, we never meet the principal, but we all.
But in a lot of movies, the vice principal is like the enforcer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the principal is just
my
like
mom
sort of
was a vice principal when at an elementary school, and the vice principal is who is in charge of discipline. So that is why in most movies, principal is in charge of administration, doesn't really do a lot that has to do with the actual students, whereas the vice principal is the one who's out there and like enforcing discipline.
Oh,
I did not know that. See, okay, good to know. Yeah. That's some insider info.
So the principal is Santa Claus, and the vice principal is
Santa's elves.
Yeah, yes, doing all the hard work.
That or the helpers that are in every mall.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, really out there. Really, doing the most. So we go to Burger Hour, which is a little restaurant, and we see Derek and Stephanie sitting together, but he smiles and makes eye contact with another girl, and this girl is creating chaos. So she goes up to the counter and asks the guy to bring their food to the table, even though it seems pretty clear that's not what we do in this restaurant. But she's like, oh, you know, just do it for me. But as he comes to the table, she intentionally moves a wet floor sign, which causes him to slip and spill food everywhere. And the Minutemen see this happen, and they will not stand for this. Mm-hmm. So they go back in time, and they make the burger mess spill on her instead.
They catch the, isn't it the mop bucket? Like, gets mop water all over her or something? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole
next to the
scene.
Wet floor sign. I do like the idea that in this world, a wet floor sign is, like, impenetrable. If that wet floor sign was there, that guy is not slipping. He's not. He's looking at that and seeing that the floor is wet and being like, I will go around.
That's the thing about this time travel stuff is, like, they're doing the least you could do when you have the ability to actually stop the whole incident from happening. But, you know, the Minutemen can't control when they appear. So people at the Burger Time, Burger Hour go, yeah, snowsuit guys, which starts this whole snowsuit thing. And the ski club gets accused of being the snowsuit guys, which I think is pretty funny.
That's good.
But then there's a whole montage with newspapers asking, who are the snowsuit guys? And how... ski club has been cleared of the investigation because we're getting really serious. We need to know who these snowsuit guys are. And we do more saving kids from vending machines. There's a kid that has a toilet cover on his back or face or something. And we also see the scientists looking at the screens and fumbling paperwork and just really getting serious here with all this time travel stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we see Cousin Greg working on his bike, and there's somebody spying on him. And then we also see Virgil and Charlie going about their days, and there's somebody after them.
Men in sunglasses.
Tabs.
Yeah.
The men in glasses are
they kind of look like all, like, agents from the Matrix. That's
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yes. And so... Eugene, who is the kid from Burger Hour, brags about hanging with the snowsuit guys and, like, knowing who they are. And of course, Virgil tries to say something about it, but Eugene's like, nah, you don't even know who they are. So all these people that they've been saving are now getting big heads and becoming different people a bit. And so the guys, so basically they're turning into jerks after they've been saved. And next, Chelsea has gotten into the school of her choice. However, there's a cheerleading element to this where she wants to get a scholarship and has to do a cheerleading audition.
To UC Belmont.
UC Belmont.
Made up school.
Famous UC.
Famous UC Belmont.
I mean, UC Belmont was...
Is that Long Beach?
Belmont? UC Belmont was
Belmont?
My top
There's Belmont
choice.
Shores in Long Beach, but yeah. I don't know.
It's like UC... yeah, so that, I mean, it was my top choice, but I didn't get in on my cheerleading scholarship that I had hoped to. Are there cheerleading scholarships? There must be, maybe.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I would guess.
I guess so. We just don't hear about them in movies as much. So, okay, so that now all of a sudden, Charles.
I have a quick logic question, if that's okay.
Yeah. Of course, we are going to be able to answer
Charlie,
it.
Charlie, a logic question in this movie?
So we'll in this world, all of these, like, dorks, who that's who they're saving, these are the kids that are considered the dorks, when they save them from this embarrassment, this all of a sudden turns around their fortunes in the school, even though, like, wouldn't it just preserve their status right where it was because the embarrassing thing didn't happen? So, like, the kid who didn't spill the food.
So nothing has really changed.
Yeah, it's not like that kid is cool now because he didn't spill this food because he was, like, a brace-faced, like, kid behind the counter who sat at the lunch table with the other nerds. So I'm like, what are the snowsuit guys doing that's actually turning these kids around? I mean, I guess with Chester, they gave him new clothes.
Yeah, it seems they're presenting them with the opportunity to do something cool to
I guess,
show everybody.
Yeah. So I guess if you spill on the popular girl.
Yeah, exactly. It's like standing up to her.
Her status is down. Okay. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. And you wear cool clothing.
Charlie, have you ever gone to high school?
Yeah.
That's how it works.
You can turn your whole image around just in one swoop. It's
Captain
very
the quarterback
easy.
Doesn't care she's covered with mop water, though. He still wants to make out with her.
He's like, would smooch.
Yeah.
For sure.
Unfazed.
Definitely would want to smooch.
That's so funny. Now, that's the logic question.
Yeah.
Made a move on me.
So now we find out a very vital piece of information. Charlie stole something from NASA, and there's like a file he stole in order to be able to get his time machine to work. And they all say, okay, well, we got to lay low. We cannot time travel right now because we've been doing it too much. And NASA might be after us. So, of course, immediately after this, we learned that Stephanie fell off the pyramid and broke her leg. So, of course, Virgil wants to go back to before this incident happened to help Stephanie, which is noble. But also, we're in a bit of a pickle. So they go back in time to the cheerleading incident, and Virgil catches her after she gets
because it was hit. Chester who did it. Chester was.
He threw.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So, Chester was showing off for everybody. And
King.
Yep. They threw a thing, and it knocked her off the pyramid.
Threw the football. Yeah. Oh, Chester. See, so they did create a chain reaction.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Interesting. This is why we have to be careful when messing with the time-space continuum.
Yeah.
As, you know, Doc Brown has told us, we can't mess with stuff. Although we
butterfly
also must
effect.
Mess with stuff.
Yeah.
Butterfly effect for sure. Yeah.
With Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's also something that keeps getting brought up in movies. It's those two movies that are now.
Butterfly effect, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
You're right.
Butterfly effect was dark.
Oh,
the stuff
yes.
that happened in that one was
yes.
that one was crazy. But
I didn't
one,
see
yeah.
it. Did he shower though in that movie?
he might shower in that movie, but then he might go back in time to not shower.
Okay.
I've showered too
which
much.
Started
what
a
am
butterfly
I going to do
effect
about this?
That led him and Mila Kunis to not wash their kids.
Wow. Unless I see dirt I'm not showering today.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh, I read those stories and I was like, this sounds crazy. And then I saw it in context of them saying them in an interview and I was like, oh, that's not that wild. It's just, they were just joking and having
Jake
fun.
Jake Gyllenhaal is gross, though.
You think they're joking? They do?
I don't think they were, like, joking, but I think the attitude towards it is more lighthearted. I don't think what I read made it sound like, as a rule, we don't wash our kids until we see dirt. But it's more like, you know, they're kids, like, but anyway, I digress, because I really don't have an opinion on the matter.
Take a stand inside the Disney vault.
I will not take a stand on bathing your children.
Don't shower.
We're so divided.
If you
decide, listeners, yeah. You let us know where you stand.
Yeah. Take as many showers as you want. Shower. If you stink.
Yeah, The Rock showers 3 times a day, apparently. But that sounds like a lot to me.
Well, that's because he works out.
He works out all the time. He's that's constantly sweating.
He'd be more stinky.
He'd be stinky if he didn't.
He'd be more stinky. We don't want a stinky.
We don't want a stinky.
But he smells great.
I would love it, especially if you had like one of those like pool showers. It'd be great. Just like outside, you know, just like a quick little rinse. That'd be great.
I want a rainforest one.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Ooh. That'd be nice. Yeah.
Rainforest cafe.
Yeah.
Rainforest cafe. I would love a rainforest cafe.
That's my Richie Rich restaurant inside my house. It's a Rainforest Cafe.
That would be great. Yeah.
That is great. Oh, I love that.
But I want the T-Rex one that's at Downtown Disney in Florida.
Oh, wow.
Dinosaurs.
Spooky. So Chester is being a jerk, and now the principal cares because he doesn't want people to improve their social status in the school. He says
very weird.
Yeah, it's really, his stance on this is so strange. He doesn't want to help, but he also doesn't want things to change.
Stick to
he
the
just
status
want
quo.
To,
he's yeah. stuck status in quo. High School Musical. You're this right. High school loves status quo.
Yeah,
that is his. Yeah, his stance is he just wants things to stay how they are. So now everything's a little crazy because the robot man is suing an old lady over something, and just all of their time traveling is really messing with stuff. And also Charlie brings up global warming at one point, and I was like, he doesn't even know. He doesn't know how relevant and important that is, and they really should be worrying about that.
Wait until 13 years from now, buddy.
Exactly. We've known. We've known for so long. And
schools will be flooding with COVID.
It's flooding all the schools.
Yeah, enjoy your non-flooded schools.
Oh my gosh. We won't even be able to have a High School Musical. Oh, so, okay, he's freaked. Oh, so Charlie's very freaked out, and he should be, because these people are after him, and he's also created a bunch of chaos.
A black hole.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Specifically speaking.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course a black hole. So Stephanie knows that Virgil is the one who saved her, and she's...
because he said something
says,
to her.
Get out.
Yeah. She's like, that's his favorite thing to say.
Which we never hear him say that in another part of the movie, do we?
No.
So she said something like, wow, how can I ever thank you? And he said, get out. And she's like, Virgil?
That's your thing. That's your catchphrase. The thing you've never said in this entire movie.
He's like, Virgil, that's the movie you want to write. But maybe it's not your story to tell.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not.
So he didn't. So she also, she at first thinks that they're psychic and that's how they're doing all these deeds. But then he says it's time travel, sort of accidentally. And then at a football game, Derek
Chester.
Is being pressured by the coach. You know, we get that classic snippet of a DCOM where the coach is like, this is on you. You got to win the game
Be
for
the
us.
Ball.
Yeah. Be the ball. Mm-hmm. And who Chester. Comes through this football game? Chester. And he's streaking, but in boxer shorts.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because
we got to keep
it's
it.
It's a DCOM.
It's a DCOM.
We know what movie we're watching.
But he thinks he's very cool for doing this. However, it distracts Derek, and they lose the football game.
Yeah.
And then we go
So that Stephanie wants to change it.
Yeah, so Derek and Stephanie go to Virgil's house, and Derek's sister, who we haven't mentioned, is there, and she is...
I liked when she first came down to meet Charlie and Zeke, and she was like, ugh, your friends aren't hot. I'm leaving.
I know. Ugly contest.
It was so funny.
I can't believe it.
Except there are, like, two women who are, like, obsessed with Nicholas Braun in this movie.
Oh my god, I forgot about them.
That's true.
Those two girls were like, you're an asshole to me.
Yeah,
can we hang
they're
out
like
with
fainting.
You?
And they're so attracted to
him. Well, he's also very tall. So
yeah. Oh yeah, he's really tall.
He is. How tall is he?
He's like 6'7", I think.
Oh my lord. Crazy.
He's really tall.
He's very tall.
So Derek asks the Minutemen to keep... Oh, he asks if they can go back in time to keep Chester from streaking at the game and distracting the football team. But of course they're not into this because... No, like, just, you know, we've already messed with so much. They don't want to help. And after their history with Derek, because from that opening scene where we met everybody,
he didn't stick up for him.
Yeah, Derek was not a nice dude. As he's proved the entire movie.
And Stephanie's like, he feels really bad. You guys should be friends or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, I'm mad at really Stephanie bad? For telling Derek.
Yeah. Yeah, she shouldn't have told him.
Yeah. Yeah. No one else is, like, Virgil's just okay with that.
I'd probably tell my girlfriend. I'm not gonna lie.
Stephanie should have done it. I mean, I would do it, but Stephanie should have
done it. Tell my
that's
asshole.
A pretty cool thing to talk
but
about.
But Derek's a jerk, so she shouldn't have told him.
Yeah. Derek's stupid. So they go back in time, and this is where Jeanette sees the headline change. So
logic.
Yeah, distance. Don't make no sense.
Also a magical.
This
element.
Was the only part where I was like, I don't believe it.
You were taken out of it, Rachel.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't fully change time. It just changes the record of the event. So.
Yeah. Because she remembers.
Right.
Doesn't make sense.
Because if nothing happened, then, and it's funny that it would be in the exact same spot on the newspaper, because you would think they'd be like, well, this isn't that interesting of a story. Let's move it to page 7 or whatever.
Yeah.
Time travel gets so confusing because I had heard all this, like, Stephen Hawking stuff about how he believed it's possible, but the way in which he believes it's possible would never affect a headline. But then again, would it? I don't know, because it's so much smaller and incremental when they talk about time travel, like, in real life.
It would be, 100 years in the future or something.
It would take so long
to see the ramifications of it. Yeah.
Right, because you would only be doing, like, a couple minutes at a time. I don't know. Anyway, it gets very confusing, but there is a logical explanation. But, you know, it's a movie. So, Virgil brought... Oh, okay, this is another thing that's weird. So, they see the headline change, but Virgil brought a tape of the original game sort of like as proof that they had changed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't remember it happening, so he brought it to be like, look what I did for you.
Right. So he's not just happy having done a good deed. He needs to show them and prove to them and have this weird proof of it, which then they want to brag about. But we can't do that.
Yeah.
Because we've done too much already.
But then...
Already passed the point of no return.
This is when they go to a party, right? They're like, thanks so much. Come to this party. He's like, I can't. I'm supposed to hang out with Charlie. But it's okay. I'll go to the party.
A cool
daytime
party.
Charlie, of course, lives across the street from the party.
Yeah.
So he can, and doesn't get invited.
Yeah.
But it's like this wild daytime party where they're all hanging out and they're hanging on the couch and Virgil chats with Stephanie about what it's like to be popular. Like, wow, looks like you're having fun. She's like, it looks like you guys are having fun being dorks. Which.
Because he was supposed to be watching the Weather Channel.
Yeah.
Top 10, like, snowstorms or something.
It was Watch Mojo's.
Yeah, it was
that
Watch
Ten.
Mojo top 10.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
And of course, Charlie sees Virgil dancing into the night through the window.
That's what he's dancing is really embarrassing.
And then,
but then also we see Derek making eyes at the girl.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yes. And then this is when later she calls him and is like, Derek's cheating on me.
I saw him kissing her.
We all
It's like her story is like, he got out of practice early, so I went to go see him, but then he was making out with her. So, yeah.
So, Virgil climbs up her balcony. Again, we get that Romeo and Juliet thing. These decons
Clarissa explains it all.
Clarissa explains it all, yes. And Derek cheated on her, and we see in the football field a little, like, a force field hole jiggly situation happens. And the scientists explain to a third guy about the irregularities that they've noticed. And then back at Burger Hour, some guy spies on Derek and Virgil. And, oh, so Derek tries to excuse his cheating and, again, like, says this story that you were just talking about. And he asks Virgil to go back in time to keep her
from seeing it,
busting in, and seeing it, which
so shady. Don't stop the kiss, but stop me from getting caught.
Yes, what exactly. He's not sorry for cheating. He's sorry for getting caught. Yeah,
yeah.
So
they always are.
And weirdly, Virgil's just like, I'll think about it. He's not like, no, dude, you fucked up.
Yeah.
And the FBI then abducts Virgil and takes him to a location that looks like a cafeteria. I don't know.
Yeah.
And the other two are there as well. And so they begin to just reveal national secrets about time travel and that they do have info. They do have the ability. And they know that the files were stolen from NASA by a computer at Summerton High School. And they're busted.
Yeah, but they're like, unless you can charge us with something, you
charge
can't
us or release us.
Yeah.
Very confident.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen movies.
Yeah. So they let them go. And
but then they're basically like in charge after that.
Right.
Yeah. Those other scientists called them sir.
Sir.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, oh, you know about the black hole? Well, we're going to.
I love also this idea of like, you left five decimal point or something like that, like the math. That's
You left five decimal points off. That's a big mistake.
That's five a huge
decimal
mistake.
Five decimal points. That would take something from like 1 to 1 million.
Yeah.
These scientists are not great.
No, they're not. They're really not.
Because that's when Charlie finds out that there's this black hole. And so then he goes
back to
them.
It's going to end the world.
Yeah.
Yes. So yes, his computer has synthesized the information. And also Jeanette is there too. She kind of is just there, but
she
sometimes
loves him.
Yeah.
She's sort of like the secretary in Ghostbusters. Yes. Yeah. She's just like there to be like, I'm here too. I'm going to make
And
you
I thought
over,
at a certain point
here.
They would take her with them back
That's
in,
what I thought.
In time, but no.
No, it's no, Minute like, Men. No,
it's
yeah,
boys,
exactly.
Boys,
it's not,
boys,
it's
boys,
Minute
boys.
Men, not Minute People.
Yeah. The time so the name doesn't work with Minute People.
Yeah. So, or in an alternate timeline, it's Shrimpy Boys.
The Shrimpy Boys.
So Virgil calls Derek and says he'll do it.
Right.
Why? Why? And then back at the FBI, this is FBI, he confesses and they know and they're like real cool about it, but because they didn't know about this black hole. And so now we find out that we have less than 4 hours until the end of the world.
But there's a dance. Of course.
And
first dance.
First dance.
At first, I did think for a second that they had gone back to the 1950s.
Yes.
When I saw everybody walking across the yard, I was like, oh, they've gone back 60 years. But no, it's just people in costumes.
Right. Because Charlie says, I have a way to reverse it. And then it cuts to them.
And I was like, oh, they're going full Back to the Future. But
that would be so fun. Nope, going to the Under the Sea dance.
Yeah.
Enchantment
Under the Sea.
And so on the way to the dance, we see the football field, like, shudder again. and everyone's dressed in their cute little 50s outfits, and Virgil plans to travel back in time before the kiss situation after they announce the winners of King and Queen at the dance, which is interesting timing.
Also, it's crazy to me that... Sorry, go for it.
Oh, no. No, it's because he went back in time and stuffed the ballot.
That's right. He went back in time and stuffed the ballots to win. So he wants to win. But also, like, him and Stephanie go to this dance together as dates, are dancing together the whole time. They almost kiss. And then Derek's like, are you ready to go back in time and change things? And he's like, no, I don't think I want to do that anymore. He's like, you trying to steal my girl? It's like, I came to the dance with your girl. Yes, I'm trying. Yes, I almost thought we were just about to kiss. Yes, I'm trying to steal your girl. Like, where have you been all night? Yeah. You trying to steal my girl?
I already did it. Yeah.
He's like, she's trying, man. She's gone. Get over it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, dude, you have no more cards to play at this point. Like, I got what I want. You messed up. Mm-hmm. Virgil tells Derek he changed his mind, and then Charlie tells them that they have less than an hour to save the planet. At this point, the three kids have kind of gone their own ways. But, you know, they got to come back together because they've really made a big mess.
Yeah, Zeke has two dates, as we've discussed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So the FBI, the CIA, and the seismologists, I think,
it was like the Bureau of Land Management, or so there was one that was like they were like, you should go first.
That was
funny. Weights and measures. Yeah, that was a good joke. That was
So the field opens up and it glows, and they gotta go in the hole and close it. And Virgil's sister is there and asks if she can have his room when he dies.
Yeah.
Which is very Brink joke, right?
Very Brink the joke. Little, the 100%. It's been done before. Sister. I was like, this.
It's a funny little sister joke. Yeah. We all say it, right?
Yeah. So Jeanette kisses Charlie goodbye.
Wow. And he's frozen. He's like,
yeah. Wow. And
he's like, I'm too young to experience this.
I'm still 11. And they're transported to a playground. And they set up an antenna. And this little kid's like, this little kid says, wow, sweet.
Yeah.
And the way he says it was so funny to me. Relevant to anything. Sweetie.
They're back on the first day of school.
Yeah, the day that it all happened.
Yes, the day of the incident.
Yeah, so Virgil wants to change it.
Virgil goes full villain at this point and is like, I never should have saved you. I'm going to go back and make sure I don't help you out. And re-put myself popular again.
Yes, because Charlie says to him, he's like, you think of that as a bad day, but I think of it as my favorite day.
It was the best day of my life.
The day I made a friend. Aww. And so then he's like, you can do whatever you want. We're going to go back. And then they leave.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they split. And then Virgil goes up to the scene, but then sees it from a new angle and sees that Derek was more instrumental than he thought.
Yeah.
And he decides not to interfere.
Well, we don't know at this point, because then they're like running and they're like, we're not going to make it. We're never going to make it. But what comes around the corner? Rocket car.
Oh my gosh, so silly.
And then they have like a 3-minute conversation just standing there when they're like, we gotta get back to the hole. And then when he comes up, he's like, you know what? We are friends. I want to be friends. Let's hug. I was like, just go. Go.
You can have this conversation in your super fast car.
Yeah, but time doesn't matter because it's a movie.
Yeah.
I guess not. I truly guess not.
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, they make it back to the hole thanks to the grappling hook that Nicholas Braun has had with him.
Grappling hook.
Talked about the whole time. He's like, this is going to come in handy. And it does. So
paid off. It really paid off.
Perfect script.
So they arrive back on the day that they first time traveled together. And everyone tells everybody else how they feel. You know, he tells Stephanie how he feels. Charlie accidentally
assaults
Jeanette. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yes. And then Cousin Greg is like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, she's walking away with a smile on her face because she has been pushing for this for quite a while.
This
but
is true. Right. She's been giving him the
But he's like,
nicknames.
She doesn't remember kissing you before.
Right. So like, this is the first time you've kissed.
He's like, oh, sorry.
So are they they're losers again?
Yeah.
They're losers again.
I mean,
but I guess that has to come from within. Yeah, they have to.
Yeah.
Do it without.
But you know what? That's the end.
Yeah.
That's the end of it. Wow.
That's the end. Well, yeah. Now they're figuring out teleportation, which is a good.
Yeah, they want to teleport. Yeah.
Sequel. Where's the sequel for Minutemen?
Right.
You know?
Right. Get Sorry. Jeanette in there. Let her do some teleporting.
They call that one over there, man.
Over there.
That's teleporting.
Charlie, that's brilliant. Because I was like, what would it be called? Over there, man.
And they're also just doing good deeds by traveling very short distances.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And in a way, isn't that sort of like time travel?
Kind of, yeah.
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 Maybe it's like a night. They're all Nightcrawler now from X-Men.
They're all Nightcrawlers. It's a Nightcrawler origin story.
That's
amazing. Okay, so after watching The Minutemen, what is the moral of this story? What is this movie trying to say?
Wow.
If you become popular, you become a jerk.
It does, yeah. There is no... Yeah, except for Stephanie. She's popular and she's nice. But yeah,
but
most
she told her
else.
Boyfriend someone else's secret. That's not very nice.
It's a huge secret, too. Yeah. I think the moral is don't mess with the space-time continuum because you might create a black hole that'll eat the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a hard one for me to follow.
For me, it's like if you want to fit in, you got to have that swoopy ass hair because literally everybody had it.
Mm-hmm. But the losers had it.
And the swoops were like in different directions. What, say that again?
The losers had it though.
They all had it.
That's what I'm saying. But they all had it, like losers, winners, in betweeners.
And they all fit in.
They all had it.
They all fit in because they all had the hair.
Because Derek didn't. Derek had kind of spike hair.
Yeah, he didn't fit in.
Right. He didn't fit in.
I think the moral of the story is if you're going to try and fix a situation by using time travel, like, go back a little further and just make it so the situation didn't happen. You know? Like, choose your time wisely.
Choose your time wisely. Yeah. That's correct. Yeah. That feels correct.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, now let's cast ourselves. Who would we play in Minutemen?
Rachel, I think it would be fun to see you play Jeanette.
Jeanette?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was going to say, I like the little sister, but Jeanette.
I literally was going to say, like, oh, I think Rachel would play the little sister.
Both of those
Jeanette
would be
good,
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think both of those would be good.
Gosh. Claire?
Charlie, you would play the robot man.
I was going to say robot man.
Yeah.
Yep, I was thinking Robot Man. Yeah.
100% you would play Robot Man.
Roll of a lifetime.
Let's see.
Gotta do a lot of mime work and prep.
Claire, I feel like you could play Stephanie.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you would definitely play Stephanie, for sure.
Wow. I mean, wow.
And Oscar, you get to be.
I know.
Oscar's Zeke.
Zeke!
Yeah.
No,
you want to be Chester. You want to be Chester.
Yeah. Chester.
No,
man, you would be great as Chester.
Yeah, I was going to say Chester, but also the cat.
What?
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, you as, like, a tough bad boy who works on motorcycles and is like... Oh, I don't want to work on your stupid time machine. But yeah, Chester, that's the role you were born to play. Yeah,
that's actually very kind that you think I'm tall.
You must be tall.
You must be tall.
You also always have two girls on your arms.
Yeah, they're right behind you.
You got four.
They're my cheetah girls. I have four girls. Amazing. Listen, normally we would have Zaddy Watch, which is a category where we rate the daddy in DCOM movie, but
there's no daddy.
That's right.
Parents in Minutemen.
We only have the vice principal.
We only have the vice principal, but like this is specifically Zaddy Watch. He doesn't strike me as a father in any way, shape, or form. But is this a first where like we just don't?
I think it is.
Yeah.
Know where the parents are at all?
Yeah.
What would the parents have done in this movie?
Gummed up the works. They always do. Mom, there's time travel. Okay, not another one of your crazy stories.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, and like later, we have a dinner sorry, to go we didn't to believe tonight.
It. Yeah.
We can't go to
You need to know, watch your like, little sister.
Yeah. Interesting. Oh, yeah, I don't think we've never had a Zaddy before.
We had a lot of FBI agents. Those were our adults. That is true.
Oh my gosh, wait a second. Wait a second. We didn't talk about the most bizarre moment of the movie, which was the closing credits at the very end. Did y'all see the closing credits?
No.
It was like, was there like a blooper or something?
I don't know what it was, but it was a scene where they're like talking about the time machine with everybody, and then it breaks into some like music breaks out, and everyone just starts dancing for no reason.
Oh my god, I totally stopped the credits.
It's so bizarre, like truly bizarre.
Wow.
Bizarre. Dang. It don't make no sense. I'm like, what am I watching? It's so weird. It was so weird.
They just start dancing?
They just start dancing for no reason, and then the director yells cut at the end. But I was like,
do you think maybe they shot like a bunch of dance scenes throughout, you know how like when you're shooting a movie sometimes you'll shoot like dance scenes, but they forgot to keep doing it, so they only have that one, and instead of like so they just use that.
Is it the whole cast?
You know what, it's the whole, it's like the, it's a scene where everybody is in that room. And it's, anyway, y'all gotta stick around if you've seen the movie and stopped at the no. You have an experience,
well,
Watchmen.
I could see something Watchmen. Was happening.
I said Watchmen. Minutemen.
and Nick Fury comes in.
No, they're...
Well, Disney Plus loves to do the thing where it shrinks it down and makes it hard to get the screen to go back. So I think that's why I've just given up at that point.
Watch these other movies,
You got to watch the rest of the movie. You got to watch the whole
movie.
Okay, now the time has come. It's time to rate Minutemen. Out of 5
minutes.
Grappling hook.
Yeah, out of 5 minutes. How many minutes do you give Minutemen?
I'm going to give Minutemen 4 minutes.
Wow.
For not watching a DCOM and like having watched a lot of really bad movies, this one was like not great, but it was like perfectly enjoyable, moved real quick. It like I said, could have gotten a theatrical release for kids if they'd put a little bit more money in it. I'll give it 4.
Not bad. Okay,
yeah, I had never seen it before, and I did. I also enjoyed it a good amount. It could have. I feel like they could have had more fun with it. Like I wanted to know what it looked like in the portal. Some questions of logic, of course. But you know, it was a good solid DCOM. I'll give it 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. I am going to give this is a 2.5 minutes, you know. It was okay. It was okay. I don't know. The more we're watching these DCOMs, I feel like they're just getting longer and longer. There was something about Minutemen that dragged on for me specifically. Like I was just like, oh my god, there's still more movie to this. And it felt like 6 different plots in one movie. It could have been simpler, just saying. Like DCOM's like, please don't make me think. Please don't make me think. I don't know. It was just okay. It had a vibe of like The Other Me, like a throwback vibe, Minutemen. That I was just like, I thought we sort of grew out of these sort of DCOMs, but not bad, but not good either. This is just right in the middle for me.
Yeah. I remember really liking this as a kid. But also maybe I just had a crush on all the characters. But rewatching it now, I'm like, I didn't enjoy it as much as I did as a kid. It felt longer than I remember, and then also just like too many characters and not as much fun as I thought it was. But
no, I should change my rating.
No.
You gave it 7 minutes. Yeah. You gave it 7 out of 5.
It's the best movie I've ever seen.
I would have added time to this movie.
But I feel like if I had just watched it without watching other DCOMs recently, I probably would have rated it higher.
Yeah,
but
I haven't seen it.
I'll give it 3 minutes, which is a good number.
It is. It's still a positive. I mean, so far, no one hated it.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is good. But yeah. We did it. We watched Minutemen.
Yay.
Woohoo.
Charlie, thank you so much for being a guest on our podcast. This was so fun.
Thank you for having me. I had a blast.
Yeah. Now, where could people follow you to find out more Charlie content?
You can follow me on my Instagram at Mahelicopter. And you can also follow Baywatch Watch Pod on Instagram. And we release new episodes every week.
Amazing. Yeah, we had Zach Olson on.
My co-host
had him on Tiger Cruise, I believe.
Ooh.
Yes, which is the co-host of the Baywatch Watch. Check it out. It's really fun. It's a really fun podcast.
Are you watching all the episodes of Baywatch?
Yeah, we'll have to have you on. Similarly? Yeah, we've had Oscar and Rachel on before. We'll have to have you on, Claire. But we watch all of the episodes of Baywatch in order. We are on
perfect.
Season four.
How many seasons are there?
There are 9 seasons. and then there's a spinoff, Baywatch Hawaii. There's also Baywatch Nights. And
you got to watch Baywatch Nights.
But Oscar was on a season 2 episode back in November, and we're already 2 seasons away from that.
Whoa.
Moving right along.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Honestly, what you guys are doing is what we're doing.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And we do a recap as well. So it's very similar. Yeah.
It's fantastic. But check it out. It's really fun. Charlie, thank you so much for being a guest.
Thanks for having me.
You want, you can join us. You can get out of this Minutemen, or if you want to be stuck in a time loop, you can stay here.
I'm jumping out with you guys.
Great. Awesome. That's a wise choice, I think. And everyone listening, thank you so much for listening to Inside the Disney Vault. I'm Oscar.
I'm Claire.
And I'm Rachel.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, what a fun time talking about Minutemen.
So many minutes of joy.
Yeah. But I'm very excited to move on to our next movie, which is Camp Rock!
Oh, this is it. We've arrived. Rachel, I believe this is your favorite DCOM of all time.
This is!
Oscar, I believe you have not seen Camp Rock.
Never have seen Camp Rock. No, don't know anything about it. I know Demi Lovato's in it.
And the Jonas Brothers. Why would you not?
And the Jonas Brothers. Right. Wow, but that's like 2 massive powerhouses.
Yes.
This was before Demi was this is where Demi was discovered.
No, this is her first thing she's done.
Radio Disney used to have the Next Big Thing Awards, and they named her, and no one knew who she was, and then she was at Camp Rock.
Oh.
Wow.
So this is the launch pad to
Demi Lovato's
career. That's very exciting.
Their career. Sorry, I forgot.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yes. Right. Their career. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, they were on Barney with Selena Gomez.
Yes.
So I don't know if we're counting Barney.
Oh my gosh. Whoa,
yeah,
there
but
so much. Ooh,
but you know,
this was the big time. This was
This was when we knew Demi as Demi, you know, and not just a kid from Barney.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, if you wanted to watch Camp Rock, this is very exciting because you can watch it on Disney Plus. But for our Patreons, we're going to have a fun little watch along.
Yeah.
So hopefully y'all tuned into that.
And a sing along. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you can sing if you want. Yeah.
I'm going to sing, but the timing will be off, so I will try not to.
I'm very excited because it's a summertime movie. We're at a summer camp situation. It's going to be fun. It's going to be good. I don't know. But if y'all are interested in following along, you can do that. You can reach out to us anytime on Twitter at ITDV Podcast, or Instagram at Inside the Disney Vault. Or if you do want to be a part of the watch party, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/InsideTheDisneyVault. Mm-hmm. It's always a fun time. We got a live chat going. We watch the movie together.
Yeah, we interact with you. It's like a sleepover.
Yeah.
Honestly. It is.
And you get to see this is me. I was trying. That's a song.
Is that
from
a reference
Camp Rock
to the movie?
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to watch it so I can understand.
Yeah.
I'm exactly. Yeah.
And you, we play my music. that didn't work either.
Okay. Look, I just want to play my music, and it happens to be the music of Camp Rock.
Yeah, that's it.
So we'll do that.
That works. We'll connect three next week.
I can't remember any other song titles, so we're going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited to watch and see everybody there.
Yeah.
I'll see you there. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Michelle Varey.
And I'm Kimberly Truong, and we are the host of Crush Fictionally, a podcast all about your favorite fictional characters from movies, TV shows, and more.
Each episode, we pick a theme, curate a list of characters that we love, why we love them, and some fun facts about the people who created them.
So if you've ever felt a true connection with a fictional character,
tune in to Crush Fictionally on Campfire Media.
Or wherever you find your podcast.
Campfire.